Thank you for joining us. This is A Moment in Time, a podcast story series, and I'm Kevin Niehaus, your host.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is A Moment in Time, and I'm Kevin, and I'm here with my guest.
Timmy Ball.
All right, Tim, so what are we talking about tonight?
The grand adventure it's been moving from Cincinnati and a couple of years on the road with my wife as a traveling nurse and getting all the way up to Alaska, making a home up here.
Awesome. So it sounds like maybe we frame it and say, what was life like in Cincinnati, Ohio, and on your journey to living in Alaska, the not lower 48?
So life sucked. I was working at a job that it was like my first, you know, career move after college with the design school to be a graphic designer and all that. And then I got a job, kind of took the first one I could find. And it was like mediocre at best. It wasn't very challenging. I was just really excited to go get a big kid job and was living downtown Cincinnati in a really cool loft apartment and, you know, doing the downtown thing and dressing nice and running around trying to kiss pretty girls and, you know, live way outside of my means. And that's a couple of years of that kind of caught up with me and found myself like leaning really hard on my, my good buddies helping me out and get back on my feet after like one bad relationship with this one real piece of work. My now wife came into the picture and just changed, you know, flipped the script, man. Just, it was like staring at Christmas morning every day. And she had this hair to take her nurse career on the road and do this travel nursing thing. And I was like, wow, you literally couldn't have found a better candidate to go like running around with, because one, I could work at home, and two, I never wanted to leave her side, and three, you know, I've never been more willing or excited to like leave Ohio and like try to turn a new leaf. And sort of I ended up having somewhat of a renaissance.
So it's almost like you were kind of caught in the washing machine, the loop over and over and over, and then magically the universe sent you this, you know, this woman to just say, okay, come on, it's time to break this cycle and move forward.
Yeah, and it was kind of like we were both at the laundromat, her washing machine on the left, mine on the right, and we just kind of really like felt it, you know. She was out of college working at a inner city hospital, and you know, that's enough to make you not want to be a nurse anymore, you know, getting pain pill addicts and stuff throwing their, you know, bedpans and stuff at you, and it's like, man, this got to be better than this, you know. And I mean, yeah, talk about lucky stars for sure.
That's awesome. So you guys kind of connect, she gets this traveling nurse job, and then do you just hang up your hat in your nice place downtown Cincinnati, or what was that like?
Oh, man, yeah. So the transition actually was, I got a little ahead of myself in the game, got caught up in lifestyles of richer and more happy people than I ended up being able to maintain, and had to move in with a couple of high school buddies, you know, and they were all firemen. So, you know, it was sort of like this rotating door of a house, you know. It's like you had no time where there were more than one person at home because they were all at the fire station.
So it was like frat house in your late
20s? Oh, no, actually it was. We used to call it the CAC house, like Kappa Alpha Kappa. Nice. So it was like a bunch of swinging dicks in this rental house. I had to walk 2 miles to, what was that college over there off Reed Hartman Highway? What was that called?
The UC campus?
Raymond Walters. Yeah, yeah, Raymond Walters College. Yeah, it was like 2 miles I had to walk to catch the bus so I could get downtown because I couldn't afford to put gas in my car. Like, it was bad, dude. And so, like, when I met Steph, you know, her sister worked with me, and, like, I was, out. So I was, like, set up with life, and I was, like, can't do this, you know. Like, it was a grind, you know. I was crawling out of this debt hole, crater that I made for myself. And she's like, you know, you should come over to my house. It's game night. My husband's tapping some craft beer that he's been working on. That should pick you up. You know, it's free, you know, no sweat, you know, whatever. Little did I know that my future wife was going to be there, come around the corner, smiling at me and just changing my life. And she stuck by me, even though, like, I was totally broke as a joke. Really had nothing going on for me. You know, I was certainly not in the dating pool whatsoever, and pretty much destroyed, like, emotionally and all that stuff. Scarred, I would even say.
So it's almost like you hit rock bottom, and game night and craft beer saved your life.
Oh my Yeah, well, I mean, I would like to say that I had a little further to go to be purely rock bottom. I mean, I still had good buddies to lean on.
Mm-hmm.
I still had food in my belly. You know, I had a roof. Even though rent was really hard to come by sometimes, you know, but, like, you know, that's life. You know, you gotta be able to, like, take a blow to the ego, you know, and
yeah.
Hit the old pride button and smack the buzzer and just let, you know, let yourself be helped. And, you know, it was definitely one of those situations. And meeting her, you know, it was such a breath of fresh air because it's like, you know, this woman came into my life and made me feel valuable. You know, it didn't matter that I didn't have money. And that was like a big life lesson because up to that point, it was all about the show. You know, it was all
mm-hmm.
the keeping up with everybody and nice dinners and cars and everything like that. But that woman, like, she made me feel whole without any of that stuff. And when you don't have any of that stuff, it's easy to say, like, well, yeah, that stuff is bullshit, you know. You don't need any of that in your life. You know, all you need is a swollen heart and a, you know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, like, that bolstering, that she, like, fed my... She just got me back on my...
It's like she'd recharged you. Like, you were running it, your battery was running low, and she just magically came and just took you to the next level.
Exactly. No, absolutely, man. It was like I would call it the slow crawl. I was slow crawling out of this thing, and she basically, like, took me by the hands, put me in her Corvette in Florida, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, when she came about this notion of hitting the road, you know, the hospitals cover your room and board. They pay you a couple bucks for gas to get out to these different places, and you know, she works 3 days a week, and then we get to see what the world looks like, you know, west of Indiana. She had never even been out west. She went to Vegas one time. She was, like, 12 with her aunt. So, I mean, that's pretty much just going to a swimming pool
mm-hmm.
at that
yeah.
age, you know. But, you know, so there was this, like, huge open world that we were like, oh, my God, I've never been to Seattle. I could only dream of what Seattle looks like. And, hell, man, we've seen every mile between Ohio, Pacific Ocean and Atlantic Ocean crisscross like 6 times now. And so the getting to the Alaska was sort of like, you know, it's not the destination, it's the journey, where we were on this like crescendo of action and adventure. I mean, we were on summer vacation for like 7 years, you know, just hitting up all these national parks, perpetuating this like outdoor lifestyle, you know, riding mountain bikes and rock climbing and hiking and camping and doing pretty much all of those amazing things people out west do since they're like 3. But
yeah.
Being an Ohio kid, it's like, you know,
it's only
it's
in
like
pictures.
Finding...
It's like in the textbook. You see it in textbooks.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, you know, like when Pearl Jam, when, you know, when you first hear Pearl Jam, you're like, man, Seattle sounds like such amazing. Well, I can't even, well, Seattle, you know, it's like, I was never going to see this place, you know,
mm-hmm.
I was never
yeah.
going to know what the redwoods looked like or what the dirt and the desert smells like. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just never,
yeah.
you never dream of these things. And so many people at that time were like doing the diligence, you know, they were meeting their other, they were like, going, you know, moving in together, buying a house, shitting out a few kids, and like it was just and they're just happy and clean.
Yeah.
I look back on that and I'm thinking like, man, I can't even do that now. Like I you know, I married this woman. I married her the day I met her, to be honest. But like even just like buying the idea of like buying a house and growing up and potentially me, you know, I'm not really actively trying to have a child, but like, you know, if that ever happened, you know, if I left one hanging and we had a kid, you know, like, cool. But like, I don't know, man, there's just so much like raw, unbridled fun in life that
mm-hmm.
I never thought I was going to be privy to. Certainly not sitting in, you know, my buddy's basement because I couldn't afford my own place, let alone know what it's like to drive up the Alcan Highway through British Columbia and then come out in the most greatest, whitest North Pole, Alaska, you know?
Yeah.
It's just been an incredible journey.
Man, that's really interesting. So she's working 3 days. You're just taking these jobs anywhere you get them. You're celebrating, hanging out, exploring the other 4 days. So while you're doing all this adventure, if I'm not mistaken, you got married in a national park, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. Actually, it's kind of interesting. I dropped a knee on her at Acadia Park in Maine, Acadia National Park up just outside of Bangor. I proposed to her there, and then life comes at you the way it does, and we ended up being engaged for like a year and a half, 2 years, and then we ended up getting married in Yosemite.
Nice.
The first time we tried to do that, the government decided to shut down, you know, because it's awesome, and ruin like a 10-week road trip that we had planned. We were going to go elope and just see all the national parks all over the West Coast. But yeah, we got married in Yosemite last October on the 7th.
Congratulations.
And, it was beautiful and everything you can imagine from the, you know, and it's kind of interesting too, because we have been to 24 national parks, and that was the only one we really haven't been to yet. And so it was kind of fitting that like the crowning national, you know, the crowning achievement of my life is marrying this girl, and the crowning national park is Yosemite, you know, with the king of all national parks. But so it was like, it was kind of full circle in around there. But as far as like, you know, getting from one job to the other, what really happens is all of these states, all of these cities, big and small, I mean, you know, like Podunk, Missouri, all of these hospitals are in desperate need of nurses. Like, they just can't keep up with maternity leave and other job opportunities, and people want to go back to college and be like PAs and stuff like that. So they call a recruiter, and the recruiter just sort of like lays the cards out on the table, and it's like, all right, Steph, which way you want to go? You want to go north, south, east, or west? And you know, for us, we were in North Carolina at the time in Love and Life, and she was like, well, Denver, I've never been to Denver. I'm like, oh, Denver, yeah, let's hit it, you know? So then we drive from North Carolina to Denver. She works at that hospital for like 3 months or 6 months and just keeps renewing if we like it. And then, like, we went to Phoenix and fucking hated it. Oh, that shit was terrible. Like, it was, oh, it's like the city, everything's brown. It's like suburban hell. Everybody was tired. It's like, I mean, the food was good. Like, I remember the food in the, there were some really cool breweries, but like, you couldn't hike. Oh, well, you know, I take that back, because we did get to see Havasu Falls, which is like a real big bucket list item. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's like the, that teal green water in the middle of the desert.
Yeah. It's actually on my bucket list.
But, yeah, so like, the getting there was, it was never a matter of like, you know, connecting certain dots as much as like, oh, we were living in Vermont, and we wanted to go to Alaska because, I mean, that's like the crescendo I was talking about. You know, like you get out of the North Carolina mountains and go west, and you're like, oh, those are mountains. And then you're in those mountains, and then you go out even further west and like up north to like, you know, Montana and Utah and stuff. And you're like, oh, that's the desert. Oh, that's the mountain. And then we climbed up Mount Rainier one summer, and it's like, oh, so that's alpine work. You know, like you just like your life just breathes this ever expanding, oh, it's like a hunger. It's like, you know, your mouth drools for it. You're just like this need to go do and push the limit, you know, and paddle that river and, you know, ride the rapid. You know, it went from just strolls through the Smokies and stuff, which were super awesome when we left Ohio.
Yeah, you're like constantly one-upping yourself. Like, okay, so we've seen Appalachia.
Exactly.
Now let's go to the Rockies. Whoa, Rockies. Now let's go to Mount Rainier. Let's go see the rainforest.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And, you know, what's the new adventure around the corner? Well, the answer to all of those questions, all of those experiences, you know, what's the next big thing? Oh, my God, dude, it's Alaska.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We had been going, you know, it was for years, it was on our priority list. Try to go into Alaska, get that, you know, AK nurse gig. Let's go explore. Let's, you know, it's so raw and beautiful and just enormous. And nobody's out here, you know. You have less people, you know, there's more people on the island of Manhattan, in Brooklyn even, than there are in the entire state. And the state is twice, you know, like over half the size of the lower 48. And so, like, we were gunning it. It's like, oh, you know, the stars didn't quite align where the start date, as well as, like, logistics of, you know, you have a very short window between March and August where you can actually physically drive. Otherwise, you've got to resort to other means that are not, like, they're not the best, but, you know, it's feasible. Or you just have a really badass truck that can, like, drive through fucking anything, and then you're not even sweating it, you know? Because, I mean, you talk about in the dead of summer, when we were driving, well, it wasn't the dead of summer, it was April, when we were coming up through the Yukon Territory, way up north in Canada, no man's land. I'm talking, like, 260 miles before we saw another person on this road.
Wow.
And like, I got like gas cans strapped to the roof. I got like chain tires, you know, tire chains, yep, you know, ready to rock. We get up through this mountain pass and it's just dumping snow. And then you come cruising out of there and then you're like coasting into the very next gas station with like fumes in your tank, man, like just sweating it. I mean, you do not want to be doing that just any time of the year, put it that way.
Yeah. Anyway, so wait, So did you? So when this whole time you guys are traveling, are you just like traveling in your car? Like, what's this like? Are you just like nomads at this point?
Timmy Balk can play the best game of big kid Tetris you've ever. I got what I call the single white girl apartment. You know, your kitchen stuff, your computer area. You know, just the little odds and ends stuff that makes life livable. And we were driving a Chevy Cobalt, which is like a full four-door sedan, and we were just packed in there, like butt to nut, toilet paper rolling out of the car every time you open the door, just like jammers. And I was like, I did one move from Asheville, North Carolina to Denver, and then Denver to Seattle in that damn car, and I was like, we are getting a bigger car. Like, I cannot do this anymore. And we were like procuring more and more like outdoor gear. You know, mountain bikes came to the picture, and getting those things on the roof. And then we got pack racks, you know, so those take up space. And then snowshoes, and like, where are we going to put all this stuff? So I got this Nissan Xterra dream truck. I've been wanting one of these things since like the late 90s when they first came out. So there's like, you know, Timmy Ball has made it. I on my first Xterra, you know. And so from then on, it was just like super dope. Like vigilant packing, not taking on extra, you know, souvenirs from all these breweries and stuff, which is a hard one, man. I love me some pint glasses with the brewery logo on it. So that was one, you know, you gotta really trim the fat in your life. You know, is this essential? Do I wear this shirt? No, put it in a pile. You know, so, it's gonna go to the ANZAC.
So it's literally like in a car with a backpacking trip. Like if you're backpacking, you know, backcountry in Yosemite, you're literally backpacking across the United States. In a car,
more than some. So I call that beer camping. It's okay. Like you've got your truck, you've got your cooler, you've got your beer, and everything else you could possibly need. So yeah, nice. Absolutely. It's like, I mean, there's not a whole lot of places in the lower 48 east of the Mississippi where you can just go do that. But yeah, it would be exactly like just I'm gonna go out and hit the road and like they call it van life or dirt bagging or slack packing or you know, there's got a lot of different handles, but yeah, essentially like you've got a whole house. It's not livable, you know, it's not like a tiny house or whatever like that people have, but you know, it's work and a lot of people can't wrap their, you know, whenever we go back home to visit, they can't, they're like, wait, hold on, what? You had a whole house in your era? And I'm like, yeah. For one, I can get a monkey in a toothbrush holder. Like, I can have, like, a motherfucker. But but also, it's like, well, what about your microwave? And I was like, oh, we don't have one. They're like, what? In fact, the only appliance we have that is, like, an absolute must is a coffee maker.
Yes.
Like, my wife will literally prison shank you if she doesn't have coffee when she first gets out of bed. And I've seen it, dude. I got stripes on my back. I could show you. Like, she needs her coffee. So that's the one thing, like, I make room for. And in fact, when we were moving from Queechee, Vermont, which is right next to Dartmouth College in Vermont, in New Hampshire area, we had to drive all the way across the country to Ashland, Oregon, which is, like, 6 miles north of the Redwoods National Park, and, like, Crater Lake is out there. I had the whole car packed up. She was working that night, so it was like a super, you know, cram sesh. I just had to crack a beer, just like huck, chuck, and duck and shove all the stuff in the car. And I forgot the coffee maker because it was still plugged in right next to the kitchen, you know, right next to the fridge. Because we used it that morning. And everything was packed up. Everything was fine. She literally like tapped her foot looking at that coffee maker. And I'm like, Dave, the car's already loaded up. And she was just like, it ain't all loaded up. And, you know, she I had to, like, take everything out of the truck, make room for that goddamn coffee machine, put it all back in the same night. And, oh, it was like, she probably doesn't even remember that because she was just in there watching TV while I was doing all this stuff. But yeah, it was the one appliance anyway. Yeah, see, I digress. But, yeah, you know, it's a great way to, like, evaluate what you need and what you don't need, as well as, like, how important things that you do need are, like,
yeah,
the coffee maker or for me it's like there is nothing I cannot if you're ever gonna like invest in like camping gear or just gear in general bikes people like rock climbing stuff like that drop the extra money because there's no need to go through four of them before you finally drop money to get the nice one.
Yeah,
I learned that the hard way. Like every time we pack and like move stuff, shit would break. Shit would, like, it just doesn't hold up. You got to, you know, what does great in North Carolina hiking in the Appalachians does not cut sand in Colorado on the 14 years and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And then you just end up buying more things to accommodate it when you should have just bought it the right way the first time. So that was one, you know, like you sort of like grow into this like really high end outfit, you know, like whether it's kitchen stuff, whether it's clothing mm-hmm. of like a casual nature or technical nature or anything like that. Just do it right, do it once, drop the coin, buy the more expensive one when you're sitting there sizing it up. That was a big lesson too. I completely forgot what the question was.
No, it's perfect. You know, because, you know, you're doing all of this and it's almost like your journey is like in two parts, like everything before you got to Alaska and then everything after you got to Alaska. So it sounds like your wife finally got a deal in Alaska. So you ended up, and correct me if I'm wrong, this whole time you're working, right? You're just a free, you're
yeah,
just doing
yeah.
freelance?
I was freelance graphic designing. I have a desktop computer that was always propped up at the kitchen table whenever we were hitting the road. So I would just slap the keys while she was at the hospital. And then when I had writer refusal as a freelancer. So like if Steph was off, you know, she did her 3 days and we wanted to go camping and stuff like that for 5 days, I would just leave, you know, no sweat. But yeah, it was like all of these experiences were just drops in the bucket of what it takes to get to Alaska as well as like appreciate and enjoy Alaska. Because if it hadn't been for all of those arduous journeys from like East Coast to West Coast twice, or from the desert through like the California mountains when the snow starts falling, you know, that kind of like driving expertise I gained is totally what got us through the Alcan Highway up there where like no man's landed. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just experiences. And it's incredible to think like this is all going somewhere. This is all like stock in a company that's going to succeed when it, you know what I'm saying? Like it's mm-hmm. everything. It's kind of like Slumdog Millionaire, how he just like starts remembering back on these things in his life and it's helping him answer these questions. It's just like that.
That's awesome.
But so like when the Alaska thing came up, we were super stoked on it. We were like, oh my God, it finally happened. And we couldn't have been more ready. Cause it is a mental, it's taxing mentally being that this far away from everything. I mean, it's still a wilderness, you know, it's got a city and it's got the towns and it's got internet in places. But I mean, on the grand scheme of things, like it is wilderness and it is rugged and beautiful. And so when getting up here, it was like the pinnacle, the apex of everything we had done up to that point. And then you roll in and you're just deeply immersed in this rocky, snow-capped, rugged, glacial-fed, like diminutive nature all around you. And it was like for a couple of kids that literally, I work for beer money. You know, I put beer in the fridge and breakfast. And Steph brought home bacon, you know what I mean? Like that was the shake we had going. And the rest of the time it was like, let's get outside, let's go outside and play, let's go camping, let's go hiking, let's go bike ride. And we're looking around at this place. It is literally the Willy Wonka chocolate factory of like an outdoorsman. Like,
so it's like you two solely like live to explore. That is it. You live to explore.
We live for experiences, man. Like exploring, it's a neat way to put it, but truth is, it's like, I'm not that daft, you know? Exploring mm-hmm. is really more like, I'm still looking at a map, you know? Where's the trailhead? I'm not out there bushwhacking and stuff. And that's both literal and metaphorical as far as, like, the road trip. You know, like, we didn't, we made planned movements, you know? It wasn't just, like, totally off the cuff. You know, we thought about it, we evaluated, you know, measured the pros and cons and weighed our options and stuff. And Alaska was very the exact same way, you know, like the whole time, you know, Steph is sitting over there like kind of twiddling her thumbs like, yeah, but winter's coming, you know. When you're in Alaska and winter's coming, it's like that boot fucking drops, brother. Like it's not even Thanksgiving yet. We've already had like three pretty decent snows. And now that kind of segues into one of the other things that I was talking about. Yeah, well, that's enough noise about the pre-Alaska. We'll keep talking about post-Alaska, you know, life after we got here next time.
Perfect. So this is a moment in time, but definitely join us next time when Tim breaks the beer bottle on what it's like life in Alaska.